Well, good morning and welcome everyone to our first Lord's Day of the new year. So it's a New Year's message. It's not a New Year's Day message, but a message for a new year. And to get us thinking, who here is familiar with a film called Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day. Most people, especially those who are younger, would not be familiar with this film. It was created in the early 90s. It is a romantic comedy which most men steer well clear of, and rightly so, but it features a man called Bill Murray. He has a dry sense of humour, a way of delivering his one-liners, which have some entertainment value. In this movie, Groundhog Day, Bill Murray is a journalist who happens to go to a town, and something happens where he wakes up every day to exactly the same day. It is a repeated cycle, an endless cycle of the very same day. Now, as we start 2022, some of you here may be going into the new year with a sense of hope, a sense of optimism. You are looking forward to certain things that you have planned for the year ahead. But others, and I suspect many of us, might be anxious, worried, concerned about what lies around the corner. And as we go into 22, some of us may be thinking, is this year just like Groundhog Day? Is it going to be a repeat of 2021, which appeared to be a repeat of 2020? Friends, Scripture is very clear that time and history is not an endless and meaningless cycle like Groundhog Day. There is a purpose to time. There is meaning. There is a defined beginning given by God and a defined end determined by God. And everything, every single day and every nanosecond of each day, God has planned, God has ordained. It is too much for us to comprehend and to consider, but not too much for our God. Everything is decreed and ordered by an all-wise and powerful God. And so as we begin 2022, the call to us, the charge to us as God's people, is to trust God, to continue to believe in Him, to continue to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. So in that sense, nothing has changed, but this morning, I'd like us to consider Ecclesiastes, and particularly Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is in the Old Testament, so if you have your Bibles handy, please turn to this passage as we look at God's wisdom to us. These words recorded are from Koheleth, the wise man, the preacher. As you first read this, you think that it may be Solomon, David's son, but there are those who believe it's someone else who has written this. This wisdom literature contains a phrase, and depending on your translation, it either says meaningless, meaningless, all life is meaningless, or vanity, vanity of vanities. As Koheleth, as the wise man surveys life, as he looks at the struggles and the joys of work, the struggles and the joys of family life, and every sector of life, everything under the sun, he says, is everything meaningless? Is everything vain? And that's where you might be or I might be this day. Is there a purpose or meaning to life? Well, chapter 3 is going to remind us of three important things. And this is what we'll look at this morning and then some applications at the end. The first thing is that we will encounter all sorts of seasons in 2022. That's the first thing. We'll encounter all types of experiences, good things, bad things, delightful things, sorrowful things, number one. Secondly, we will soon see that our schedules, our diaries, will become very, very busy. But thirdly, despite that busyness, God has implanted in each of us, deep within our souls, a sense of eternity, And we're to live in that light. And as I say, finally, we'll look at some applications. So firstly, let's see in verses 1 to 8, various seasons. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There is a time and an appointed planned time by God. The first thing we see is that there will be good times, delightful times, joyful times. As you cast your eyes on these verses, you will see there will be a time for births. And we've been praying for Elspeth in a few short weeks or months. We hope to rejoice with the Grobler family at the birth of their little one. It says in verse 3 that there is a time to heal. And even today, young Summer is healing at home. Fairy is healing from the trauma that she has experienced. There will be a time of building up. There'll be a time of laughing. There'll be a time of dancing. Even for Baptists, there'll be a time of dancing. There'll be a time of embracing and a time for love. So you can see that in the year ahead, there will be times that delight the heart. But also, there will be sad times, distressing times. It says that there is a time appointed to die. There's a time for things to be broken down. There is a time for weeping. Tearing away fracture. There's also a time when we will experience hatred in the year ahead. Unlike the good times where we want to bottle it up, drink it in, saturate ourselves in those seasons of joy, these times we'll want to pass quickly. If we can, we'll arrange our lives to try to avoid them. If we experience them, we'll try to forget. But friends, brothers and sisters, we ultimately do not determine. We don't get to choose for ourselves which season we will experience today or tomorrow or for the year. We've been conditioned in this life to customize things, to alter things. Like you go into a restaurant and you say, here is the long menu. I like this dish and this dish, but I don't like these things. And even, I like this dish, but I don't really like this item on it, so can you please put it to one side? Friends, life is not like that. It may be like that for a restaurant, or you're choosing a computer, or, you know, a coffee. You can customize, you can adapt those things, but not life. No, God alone serves up the various courses perfectly. And you know, children, sometimes your parents put something on your plate. You know, whether it's, for our kids, it was mushrooms or broccoli or usually a vegetable. Kids never turn their face against hot chips, but for vegetables, they dislike very much. Friends, just like young children have to digest everything that's on their plate. We too have to learn in the year ahead to rest in God in those seasons. I suspect in the coming weeks on the news there will be items that alert us to what's happening in Europe with Ukraine or Russia or Taiwan and China. So some may be worried what is going to happen politically. Empires will rise and will fall in 2022. But according to Job 12:23 or Daniel 4:36, it is God whose hand causes them to ascend or to descend. He's the one who makes nations great or causes their downfall. It is God. Droughts and floods, it's summertime. Bushfires, these are the things that we're often concerned with in Australia. But it says in Matthew 5:45, It is God who causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Whether our dams are full and overflowing or they are barren, again, these things have been determined by our God. Travel plans. Many of us have had travel plans disrupted in the past year, or concerns about immigration or visa. Read this when you get a chance in Acts 17:26. I'll read it for you now. When Paul is addressing the Athenians, he says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth." And it's this next portion that's particularly relevant. He says, "Having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." God has determined our comings and our goings. We have visitors here today from different parts of Sydney, from different parts of the world. God has opened those doors for you to be here. But in his providence, he's also prevented people from being with us today. I woke up this morning, there were lots of apologies of people who were unwell. He's prevented them in their providence from coming. And so it is with movements to other cities, to other lands this year. God has orchestrated, God has executed time in such a way that is most glorifying to him. And so nothing will come to pass this year that has not been planned by God. And as a believer, your mind might go to Romans 8. And it says that all things, and there's a whole list of things here in Ecclesiastes 3, good things, bad things, joyful things, distressing things, all things work together for good, but for those that love God. Christian, believer, if you are going into 2022 with fear and anxiety, can I encourage you to repent of that sin? Because when we are worried and anxious, whether you like it or not, you are saying, I am saying, we do not trust the wisdom of our Father who has planned these things for us. Draw near to him. We may not understand many things, why it has happened, how come in this way, why us? But we know that God, if we're chewing on that broccoli or that Brussels sprout, we know that it is good for us because God has served it for us. All these things will ultimately sanctify his children. But if you are an unbeliever, if you are outside of Christ, if you are living for yourself and for your own pleasures, you are still at enmity. You are still estranged from God. And God has given you time. He's given you today. In that passage, Acts 17, about our comings and goings, it says in verse 27, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, it says in verse 27, that they should seek God. And perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Friend, if you don't love Jesus, if you haven't turned from your sins, God has given you today. And that purpose for today, whatever secondary things you've arranged, one of the purposes of today is that you might seek the Lord and know him and find him. And so if you spend days this year wondering what to do with your life, the one thing God has given you to do is to know him, to love him, to trust him. Friend, Will you use your time wisely today to search for God? He has brought you into this house to hear from his word, to sing these songs, to witness the gospel in the Lord's Supper. Consider these things and what Christ has done for sinners. That's the first point. We will encounter all types of seasons in 2022. Now, more briefly, and we'll see this in verse 9 to 10, our schedules, our diaries will soon become very, very busy. We came back from a very short holiday just before Christmas, and soon upon us, our family is thinking, where has that holiday gone? Here in verse 9, it says, what gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He's given us things to do. The original commission to mankind was to be fruitful, to multiply. And friends, this year, our days will be filled with all sorts of work. Paid work, unpaid work, volunteer work, full-time work, casual work, Monday to Friday work. Those with young children, it's 24/7 work. And with or without lockdown, we will all be working. We will all be busy doing various things. But in our busyness, there is a danger. There is a danger that we miss seeing God's hand in what's going on around us, what God is doing to us and in us and through us. There is danger we will miss the beauty of each moment. Read with me verse 11. So the context, we are busy. And he says he has made everything beautiful in its time. I don't know how busy you will be. It's all relative. Some people have a couple of things in their diary and they seem very overwhelmed. Others seem to be able to fit a lot in. But one of the words I used to hear last year, and increasingly so, is you ask people how they are, I'm so busy. We can't change busyness in a sense. But we must guard and appreciate that busyness has been given by God. The task that he has given to us. Parents with young children. We have a saying, the days and the nights are long. And especially if your children are unwell, they seem very long. Endless days and endless nights. Those days are long, but the years are short. As you struggle, perhaps, to stay awake, as you care for your children, feed them, clothe them, clean up after them, I want to encourage young families to pause and look at your children and give thanks to God. There's a tendency in us to complain. Our cups are half empty. But really, they're full and overflowing with great blessing. Gaze at your kids and give thanks to God. Because before you know it, you'll be teaching your eldest to drive a car. That's very scary. Singles, those who are unmarried and desire to be. I know that this year, perhaps, you've been praying to find a life partner, a covenant companion for life. And you'll say to yourself, when that time comes, this will change or that will change. And certain things do change. But may I encourage you, use today, the day that God has given you, to serve. Serve the bride not your matrimonial bride. Serve the bride of Christ. Serve the church. Serve others. It prepares you well for married life. Don't live for tomorrow, but enjoy service opportunities today. And that could be multiplied to all of us, really. We can be looking forward to finishing university or this work. And we say, when that time comes, then things will change. Now, God has appointed each day. And each day is an opportunity to love him and to serve others. Now, Mike, some of you might be saying, is there beauty in hard times? Is there any benefit, anything good? Many of us are familiar with receiving the news on Christmas Day. Christmas Day that young Samar was horrifically injured in that awful accident, having boiling water poured on him. Can anything good happen out of that situation? Charles Spurgeon writes this: in the greatness of our troubles, it is there that there may often be space for the greater display of the goodness of God. Friends, as we look at that list in verse 1 to 8, we do not wish that upon one another. We don't desire these things. Because if it was up to us to organize these things, it would be terrible. But God can use the most awful of situations and bring much good. Much good. And what can compare to Calvary's cross? There was no darker period in history, in a sense, when the Son of God was crucified unjustly for the sins of others. Yes, we can look at the benefits now, but it was a dark day, an awful day. And as the disciples gathered and saw this, they must have said, what good can come from this? Lord, what are you doing? And so it is through the greatness of our troubles that the goodness of God can be made manifest. You know, in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2, just came to mind. It says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Who here gets two invitations? One to a house of feasting and one to a house of mourning. And says, oh, I want to go to the house of mourning. I think all of us would say, I don't want to go there. I want to go where there is rejoicing, where there is happiness. But here in Ecclesiastes, it says, no, it's better to be mourning and sorrowful. Why? For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Friends, it gives us perspective. It's not we eat and drink for tomorrow we die. Despite our busyness, we must see the beauty and the wisdom of God in what he has planned for us. But this takes us to our third point. There is eternity written in our hearts. We see this in verse 11 of chapter 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Despite our busyness, we all know deep down that there is more to this life than eating and drinking. It may feel like this, but we are not rats on a treadmill chasing the cheese. God has prepared for each one of us eternity. Each one. Whether you know Jesus or whether you hate Jesus, God has prepared eternity for you. But they're two very different eternities, very different outcomes. Let's start with those who ignore God, who are indifferent. Perhaps you hate God, although you would never admit it. If you continue to reject God, your eternity is one of eternal judgment. Sure, you can try to defer it, delay it, fill your life with distraction so you don't have to think about it. But one of the reasons God has given us sorrow in this life is that they are signposts. They are signals of an eternity of greater judgment. Friends, you don't get paper cuts in heaven. There's no accident and emergency in heaven. There's no cancer treatment. There are no car accidents in heaven because it is a place that is not affected by sin. But in this world, the world you and I live in, there are many sorrows. Since the curse, too many things are tarnished, stained by tears. But even in this life, it is not the full extent of God's judgment on the curse, because there is still common grace. He still restrains himself. And so if you've rejected God, and you continue to reject God, then an eternity awaits you where there will be no pleasure, no joy, only wailing and gnashing of teeth because of your sin. But friend, may I encourage you to turn to Christ, because there is a better way. It's why Christ came, to offer forgiveness and acceptance before God. He has prepared an eternity for all those who acknowledge their sin and turn to Christ. One filled with joys and pleasures. And nothing can ruin or interrupt that everlasting joy. It is a place, a world without sin. The other night we were down at the harbour foreshore. It was the most surreal experience. Because normally there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people there. There was no one. Absolutely no one. And we watched the fireworks, and they were spectacular as always. And we had Amy's parents with us, and they said, wow, this is amazing, spectacular. But then Amy's mum said this: it'll be better in heaven. Not talking about fireworks, but when we see heaven, it will take our breath away. We will be filled with awe. The mountains, the valleys, the forests, the oceans that we experience here, the fellowship that we enjoy cannot compare to a world, a new world, untarnished by sin. And unlike the fireworks the other night, which lasted 12 to 15 minutes, heaven has no end. We enjoy that forever. How good is that? Friends, where will you spend eternity? Weighed down and anchored by your sin and experiencing the judgment of God? Or will you be in heaven, with all the saints gazing upon the Lamb seated on the throne, seeing him in all his glory, more radiant than a million or a billion or a trillion fireworks, bringing us greater and everlasting joy? Come to Christ, bow your knee, confess your sins, and be accepted in the Beloved. Let me now address five quick applications. very, very briefly. There are five. And as I was writing these down, I came up with a quick acronym, PRIZE. Five things to prize. Firstly, prioritize. This year, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and all else will be given to you. Yes, we will be busy with many things, necessary things, but prioritize the kingdom. Why? Why should we prioritize the kingdom? We've used this quote here before, C.T. Studd, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You can build bigger houses, get better office location, better promotion. Quite frankly, no one will care in heaven. You prioritize the kingdom. The fruit of that will go on into eternity. Priorities. Secondly, prize, redeem, PR, redeem, Ephesians 5:16. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Friends, one of the great dangers in an affluent society is that we dither, we waste our lives complaining and worrying. But we're to redeem the time. Friends, we do not get the 2nd of January 2022 again. So make wise options. Use our time well to worship God, to know Him, enjoy Him, and to tell others about Him. Thirdly, PRI, intercede. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Let me read this out to you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Intercede. Use our time well. There may be business projects that you do that at the end of it, you go, what a waste of time. There may be things that you have in your calendar, go to an event and you go, what a waste of time. When we pray, it's never wasted time. When we give thanks to God, He's always sanctifying us. He's hearing in His sovereignty, taking these things and working out His decrees. Spend much of 2022 in prayer. When do you say? Well, in the mornings. Before you get up, bedtime, as you collapse after a tiring day. In between, pray. Solo, pray together, intercede. The fourth one is a bit of a cheat. It's not actually Z for Z. It's actually season. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Why have I put this in here? Well, there's going to be days and opportunities when sharing the gospel is quite easy. It falls in our laps. But there's also going to be hard days. Hard days to share the gospel. But note what Paul says to Timothy. We're to be ready in season and out of season. We don't get an excuse. We don't get a leave pass because this day was harder than the next day. We're to be ready in season and out of season. Gordon will be pleased to know, and Gordon will be pleased that I remind everyone on the back desk there are lots of Gideon Bibles, little purple ones. I have them in the side of my car. You know, sometimes people wash your windows. You can give them a gold coin and you can give them something better. A New Testament. You can go into shops with them and as you speak to people, share the gospel this year. Be ready in season and out of season. And the fifth one, an application. E, prize, ending in E. E for evangel, the good news. In Galatians 4:4, it says, when the time had fully come, not earlier, not later, at the right time, Jesus Christ was born. He'd been planned for thousands of years, but at the right time. Friends, every day is a good day to think about the coming of Jesus for our souls. There is no bad time to think about Jesus and the work of salvation. And whether they seem pleasurable or terrible, there are no accidents with God. His timing and his ways are perfect. And it is seen supremely in the gospel of our God. So may we use this year to meditate much on what Christ has done for us. Friends, you and I will fail. As parents, we will fail. As husbands, as wives, we will fail. As workers, we will fail our bosses. But the gospel promises hold true because he is faithful despite our faithlessness. As we close, 2022 is not Groundhog Day, not Groundhog Year. Every day is not a repeat. It's not a do-over. Every single day that God has given to us is a gift. But to use it wisely, because God has given it to us. If you do not know the Lord, seek him out. Search for him. For you will find him. For those of us who are in the Lord, may we walk humbly with our God. May we set our days attuned to his calling in our lives. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the days that you have given us here on earth, like sands in an hourglass. We pray for much grace to know you from a young age, from an early stage of our lives. And Lord, help us to know you and to serve you. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to prioritize the kingdom this year. Lord, help us to redeem the time. Help us to spend time with you in prayer, interceding, giving thanks. Lord, help us to be ready in season and out of season to share the good news. And help us to think much on the evangel. Lord, we thank you that it is you who has ordained what's going to happen this year. May we trust you. May we rejoice in whatever you bring to us. Help us to encourage one another, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.